thank you, Lord, that you've been so good to us, Lord. Lord, that we are sitting here today and we are free to worship you today, Lord. God, we're healthy. We can breathe fresh air. We had food to eat this morning, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. God, I thank you. Thank you for your presence here in this place today. And Lord, I pray that your word will transform us today. God, that you'll give us ears to hear and to understand and perceive what you are saying to us. Holy Spirit, please move. Lord, I cannot do this without you. Lord, we cannot change without you. Our human efforts will only take us to a certain place, but it will fail us every time, Lord. But I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for your grace that will sustain us and will take us and enable us to do what you ask us to do, Lord. Father God, I thank you for every person in this auditorium today, every person listening to this, God, and I pray that you would open our ears, Lord. I rebuke in Jesus' name the birds of the air that will try to steal the seed today in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the seed of your word will fall in deep, fertile soil and it will yield a harvest today. Not just today, but continually in Jesus' name, I pray. Let your name be glorified. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Kids, may depart. Good morning, everybody. Been a bit chilly this morning. If you think this morning was cold, wait till tomorrow morning. I think they are predicting -1 for us here in Gisborne, so it's going to be chilly. I had a real wonderful time over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, where God has been stirring up in my heart a word, and the more I read the Word of God, the more I fall in love with it. And I've been a Christian for a long time now, but there's one thing that the Holy Spirit just whispered in my ear, and he said, my people don't love my word enough. They love other things. Things are so easy to distract us today. Like we will go throughout the whole day, we'll get to bed tonight, we'll go to sleep, and we've said a few prayers, and yes, we thought about God, but how much time did you spend reading news articles? How much time did you spend reading magazines? And how much time did you spend reading the Word of God? And I can tell you from experience, it's not just gonna happen one day where you just want to read it. It's a habit. Everything you do in your life is a habit. You make a decision to do something, you do it, and you repeat it, and it becomes a habit. But I'm telling you now that we have to pray. Say, Lord, let me fall in love with your word. Help me to fall in love with your word more and more and more. And I've always loved God's word, but I really, it's just, lately I find it difficult to put down the word of God. And I want to tell you a story. When I grew up, we were in a different time, different place. We're in South Africa. Things were a lot different to what they are here. It was reasonably safe. I had the privilege to, when I was getting older, I can't remember the age, 14, 15, 16, some holidays, one of my friends, they had a farm near a town. It was a big mountain there. Now, where I grew up in the Eastern Free State, in the Highveld in South Africa, it's fairly flat. You've got hills, but they're these soft kind of hills. They're not your rocky mountains. But this one particular place, it was standing out. It almost looked like a little bit of a smaller version of Table Mountain. And you know it's high because that's where they put the television antennas on for us in our area. So that's a high spot. And there was a story, true or not, I don't know, but that's where they shot the last cheetah in that area. And so you know, young boys, our imaginations will run wild about the area. And we would go and camp there over holidays, four, five, six of us. And it's fun. I mean, we would go there and we'll take some tools with us. We can make some bows and arrows and build a fort and shelter, and we'll make fire at night. We sleep outside. We're out there in the open. But one of the things that I found interesting in hindsight, and I don't know, nobody told us. Nobody said, look, when you build a shelter, go and find a rock and find a nice, safe rock place and then build your shelter around there. It just happened. But in hindsight, that's every time we slept there, we went and we stayed in different spots there, but we always found shelter at a rock. So on the one side, you had this rock because, you know, in the back of our minds, there's still another cheetah alive. You've got to remember, we've got to keep the fire going at night because they won't come to you when there's a fire going, all right? And you know you're safe from behind. We all sleep in our sleeping bags. Well, back then, sleeping bags were, you know, a few bags, not really sleeping bags. And we would sew during the holidays or the weeks we're leading up. We'll just take some of these fertilizer bags and we'll sew them all together, and that will become our tent. You know, we'll take some star pickets and we'll build this little hut and we'll sleep there. And we enjoyed it. We loved it. But in hindsight, you know, the one thing that made us feel secure at night was the fact that we had this big rock behind us. And we know that nobody's going to move that rock. If anything happened, we probably will be forced in a, you know, we can't retreat area, but at least we know behind us nothing's going to be attacking us from behind. Maybe a scorpion or something like that, but we were okay. We're alive, thank God for that. You heard my parents' prayers, keep me alive. But I come in the Bible and I read stories about what happened. And there is one fascinating story that always stand out for me. I love David. I love the stories of King David. I love his conquest. I love how God shows imperfect people in their weakest spots, where they sin and where they are absolutely just smeared to the ground, and then how he raised them up. I love those stories. And that's one of the things that always fascinate me when you think about the Bible, that if you were to write a story about how good your country is and how good you are, you know, you're not necessarily going to write about the darkness, the bad things, how, you know, you cheated on that person and did this and killed that one. But in the Bible, it's raw. It's like God is showing us that in our mistakes, in our weaknesses, he reaches out to us. He has a plan. But one such story, and you will always, I love the Word of God, so I'm going to read the Word of God today. And for some of you, it'll probably be the most you've read this last week, but that's fine. We'll start somewhere. But I do want to talk to you about Exodus 33, and this is where Moses went up onto the mountain. And he asked God, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory, God. And we'll go through it, but there's this wonderful picture there that I want you to look out for. And it's where God says to Moses, well, I can't show you my face, but I will let my goodness pass before you. But while I do that, I'm going to put you in the cleft. There's a rock by me. You will read it. There's a rock by me, and I'm going to put you in that cleft. And I'm going to put my hand over it, and as I walk by, when I've walked by, I'm going to take my hand away. You'll see my back. Let's read it. All right. Exodus 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.'" And God said to, so in verse 2, God said to him, "And I will send my angel before you." Now, I just want to say, just before this, in Exodus 32 is where God gave Moses the first time the Ten Commandments. And while he was up on the mountain, the Israelites began to build a golden calf. They started sacrificing and to this calf, and God told Moses, "Hey, you better get down there. Those stiff-necked people are worshiping another god. While I'm here, they can see me. I'm on the mountain with you, and they're beginning to worship another god." And Moses goes down. He breaks. He gets so angry that he breaks these tablets that God gave him with God's word on it, and he breaks it. And so now this picks up when God starts speaking to Moses again after it. And you know what, one of the things that I love about that picture where God just spoke with Moses and then Moses got angry and he broke God's the tablets? Sometimes I can be in God's presence and then I walk outside and my world is turned upside down and I snap. And it's okay. Moses, who spent time face to face with God, was in his presence, walked down the mountain. He didn't go down unexpected. God told him, "Go down, they're busy sinning." And when he saw it, he got angry. It's like you think he should have known, "Oh, don't get angry, I know what's going to happen." But anyway, that's the grace of God for you. It's amazing. Now God is saying, look, so in 32, God said, "Look, I'm not going to go with you. I'll send my angel, but I'm not going to go with you because I will consume these people. They're a stiff-necked, rebellious people." And now God is saying, "And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out all the ites." In verse 3, "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, 'You are a stiff-necked people. I could come up in your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do with you.' So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp." And I can picture here Moses thinking, God is going to come down and he's going to consume these people. And I want to be outside. I don't want to be there when this happens. I want to be outside. "And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man at his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." There's a whole message in that. But let's continue. "Then Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." What a beautiful prayer. Here is Moses speaking face to face with God, and he still says, "God, if I found grace in your sight, show me your ways. Show me your ways." And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 15, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. And this is where I want you to begin to see in your mind's eye what's happening here. And so Moses is asking God, he said, God, please show me your glory. And God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Exodus 34. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the word that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me here on the top of the mountain. So God was speaking to Moses here while he was in that tabernacle, while he was spending time with God. God is speaking to him here, and God is calling him up to come up to the mountain again on the next day. And God is warning him here in verse 3, and he said, and no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither their flocks nor their herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now listen to what the Lord proclaimed. Listen to his name. He says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Look at his posture when he begins to see God's goodness. Then he said, if now I found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. How amazing, as soon as Moses saw God's glory, Moses said, God, it's not good enough for your angel. You need to go with us. You need to go with us, Lord. Please go with us. I love that story. There is so many visuals in that story. I mean, you can close your eyes and you can just visualize in your mind all these things that are happening, both from Moses' point of view on the mountain. Then you can think of Joshua, who loved lingering in the tabernacle. And I'm telling you, Joshua probably wanted to go up there as well. And here they are sitting at the mountain, and they're seeing the fire, and they're seeing the smoke, and they're seeing the clouds, and other places in the Bible that describes it well. It talks about thunder and lightning, and they see all this. And some people were afraid. They drew back, and I think Joshua, I can see Joshua just lingering, wanting to come closer, saying, Lord, take me there too. Take me there. There's so much in there. And what I love about the Word of God is that this is a story. It's a beautiful story. But then all of a sudden, you begin to read further in the Word of God. And God begin to reveal himself in this story in other places for you. And as I talked about the rock, here he said, he told Moses, I've got a rock here by me. Come and stand on the rock. And other places in the Word of God, I'm going to go through it now. There are so many scriptures that begin to reveal to us that God is our rock and he's our refuge. Begin to, I hope as I continue through this, you begin to see that rock in slightly different angle. When you see the word rock mentioned in the scripture again, you begin to see something different. In 1 Samuel 2 verse 2, it says, "No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." Psalm 62 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Isaiah 44, "I do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from the time then and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." So God is basically talking to the prophet Isaiah here, and he refers to himself as the God, but also as a rock. So God began to introduce himself here as a rock, as a safe place, as a safe haven, as something that's not going to move. Psalm 18 verse 2, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold." And I can tell you now that this is not hearsay. When I get in trouble and when I'm in difficult places, I've learned to take refuge in God. Because I know his word is true. And his word says that I am a rock. And he says in other places in the world, in his word, he says, "Test me. This is my character. This is who I am." And I tell you, it starts not with some big ceremony. It starts with, "God, I need you. God, this situation is too big for me." And I can think back in places in my life where I said, "God, if you are there, please hide me now. Shelter me." We all get to places in our lives sometimes where we really, wow, is everything that is happening to me, is this real? Can there be a God? I want to challenge you when you're there, pray this prayer and say, God, if you're there, hide me now. I need you now. Psalm 31, verse 2 and 3, "My rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, my rock and my fortress." 62, verse 7, "My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." Psalm 71, 3, "My rock of refuge, to which I can always go. You are my rock and my fortress." God is just confirming over and over in his word that he is a rock and he's a fortress. But the one thing we have to remember is a rock is not going to come to you. You have to run to the rock. Psalm 91 starts with, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High." He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It takes us a place of dwelling. Now, the good thing about a rock of shelter is, we can go away, and we do go away. But I know where the rock is. I know where that rock is. I know in my life where I can go to. I know where I need to go to get back in the presence of God, to get back to the safety and the shelter, him covering me, having that protection. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice." 2 Samuel 22, 32, "For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God?" Then we get to the New Testament. And this is all just Old Testament scriptures that I've read now, where God is declaring himself as being our rock and our fortress, our hiding place. He actually says, and I'll read that scripture later, that he is our hiding place. There's a beautiful song there called, old song called, "You Are My Hiding Place." It's such a beautiful song. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and I love this picture. And this is Paul writing about this time that the Israelites were in the desert at this mountain. He says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. Matthew 21:42, Jesus said to him, "Did you never read in the scriptures, this stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Acts 4:11, "He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone." 1 Peter 2:6-7, "For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, this stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone." And in Psalm 32:7, that he says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." I love when I read these scriptures, and you can just follow these scriptures, and God begins to paint a picture of who he is. Who he is, his character for us, how he loves us, how he wants to be our hiding place, how he wants to be a refuge for us. But for, see, there are plenty of places of refuge and shelter in this nation, in the world, and there a lot of them are empty today. But when trouble comes, people know where to go. I'm asking you, when trouble come in your life, do you know where to go? Do you know where to go? Do you know where to go? Or is it all formulas? I want to go a little bit deeper into this that we've just read. And I pray that you will see what God has showed me through this. And we see the key piece of this story for me is where Moses, in this conversation with God, got to a place where he just says, "God, show me your glory. Show me your glory." And then God said to him, "I will show you my goodness, but not my face, because no man can see my face and live." He said, Exodus 33:14-20, and he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For now then will it be known that your people and I found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." So Moses is saying here to God that, "God, your presence is the only thing that determines your people, that or that distinguishes your people from the other people on the face of the earth." And the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." This, at the end of this conversation, God, Moses is saying to God, "God, please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to you." And then at the end, he says, "But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." It's amazing that at the start of verse 14, God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." That word presence there is the same word in Hebrew for face. That's the same word there for face. God's presence is connected to his face. You know, if you seek my hands can do something for you, but if you seek my face can't do anything for you. And I find that's a big difference between a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians seek the works of God. They seek the blessings. They seek the miracles. But God is saying, "Are you seeking my face? My face can't do anything for you. But in my face is where my presence is." Moses is saying, "Please show me your glory." Now, what I love about this, the word glory in Hebrew, it means glory, honor, glorious, abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, reverence. It really does mean what we anticipated to mean. And the word goodness means fairness, beauty, joy, prosperity, goodness. goods, good things, property, goodness of taste and discernment, the goodness of God. And what I love about the word face, in the Hebrew word is translated into face, presence, person. Before and behind, toward and front, forward, formerly, from before time, before. It's this continuous presence of God's face. It's always there, His presence. And He said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And that's an amazing statement there. And what I find amazing about that is, in Genesis 3 verse 8, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came walking in the garden, and they hid. Adam and Eve, they hid from God's presence. And that word presence is word face. The very thing that Adam and Eve hid from was the very thing that Moses was looking for. What were Adam and Eve all of a sudden separated from in the Garden of Eden was that presence of God. That presence where they will not be consumed if they're in it. They were in God's presence and they weren't consumed. And here God is saying, no man can see me and live because sin has now entered the world. And we need a mediator. We need Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the only thing that stops God's presence from consuming us. And you will see how it comes out in this. What I love about the fact that Jesus is our rock. Think of how God told Moses. He's a rock by me. He says to him, there's a rock near me. Come and stand on the rock. And then in that rock, there's a cleft. And I will hide you in the cleft. And I'll put my hand over you. Jesus is the rock. In Colossians 3 verse 3, we read about how we are hidden in Christ. God is saying, my presence is too much for you, Moses, but there is a rock here. Come and stand on the rock, and I will hide you in the rock, and then my presence won't consume you. Jesus is the rock. Moses is standing on the rock and God is hiding him in the rock. And then God puts his hand over the rock and God passes by. That is us in Christ and Christ in God. It is just a complete picture of salvation, of how much God loves us, how he protects us. Now, what I found interesting when you read about it and I really begin to meditate on the scripture, that cleft, that's a place where God put Moses for his own protection. Would you agree with me? Now, that's a place of constriction, confinement. He can't move. Moses, I don't want you going anywhere. This is now no longer your will. I know you might want to try and run around my hand to see me, but I'm going to put you in a place of confinement and restriction for this time in Christ. So that you can't move. It'll be uncomfortable, but you're hidden. You are safe. We cannot approach God unless we're hidden in Christ. And the Bible makes it clear. It says we can now approach His throne boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. Because we've been purchased by the death and the resurrection of His Son. That's how we've been purchased. And I just love when I begin to read these scriptures over and over again, I begin to meditate on it, and God begin to reveal certain words to me. It just stands out, and when I begin to wonder what that means, I really wonder what that means. Exodus 33:21-23. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and ye shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. This blows me away, and you'll see why. The word cover in Hebrew, it means to hedge, to fence, to shut in, to block, to overshadow, to screen, to stop the approach, to shut off. When God covers you from the bad things that are happening in the world, when you find refuge in Christ Jesus, when you say, God, I've got nothing else but you, I need you to cover me, to protect me, guess what he does? He begins to hedge you in. He begins to fence about, to shut you in, to block, to overshadow, to screen, to stop the approach of the enemy coming to you. You will still see it, but it will not come to you. And I can stand here and I can testify to you today that I have seen that over and over in my life. And right now, I am in one of those circumstances in my life where as a family, we're in a place where we're in the cleft. And we can see the attacks, we can see the storms of the enemy, but we can see the miracles of how God is stopping it. I can see it, but it's only advancing to a certain place and it's not coming any closer. But further on, the word cover also means to lay over, to weave together. I love it. Psalm 139:13 says, for you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. That's the same word there. You covered me in my mother's womb. He weaved and covered, and you weaved me in my mother's womb. You knit me together. You protected me. And that is a beautiful picture of us in God. Now, what I love about the word back here, now we think and we read this and we think of this, if Moses here, God passed by, put his hand over him and he's going to walk that way and Moses is going to see God's back. It is true, but that word back means so much more. And I love uncovering this. It means the backside, the rear, but it also means backwards or hereafter of time. And you will see now in a minute where this part becomes very interesting, where it's hereafter in time. It's almost like hindsight is 20/20 vision. Have you ever heard that saying? When you look back in your life, you can see, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, okay, didn't see that happening. Now this to me is the bit that blows me away, the word rock. The word rock in the Hebrew, as the Hebrew rabbis understand it, and this actually blew me away to the point where I had to go and read some very traditional Hebrew rabbinic, whatever you want to, rabbi writings about this word. Yes, it means rock, it means cliff, it means rocky wall with a flat surface. But the term rock in Hebrew can also be translated as narrows or constraints. But in Hebrew, a lot of the words have got what they call a root word. So you've got this root word at the top, and if you think of it branching down, you've got all these other words that have been derived from that one word. Guess what is the root word for rock? Trouble. That's amazing. Trouble. Now, this blew me away, that I was reading this and it hit me. And it's like Moses was asking God, God, show me your glory. And God is saying to Moses, I can't show you my glory, that's my face, because no man shall see that and die and live. He says, but I'll show you my goodness. Now picture this, he's saying, there's trouble here next to me. I will put you in trouble, but I will hide you while you're in the trouble. And when you look back, you will see how good I've been to you. When you look behind you, those times that you were on your knees crying to God, saying, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why I had to lose a child. I don't know, Lord, why these things are happening to me, why I had to lose a business, why I had to go bankrupt, why these things were happening to me, why I had to lose my parents and all these things. And you look back and you say, wow, God, I see now. I see now. And if I can share a personal testimony with about me and Annette, we lost our first baby, and it was one of those, God, why? We love you. We've done everything right. I tell you what, you go to the hospital and you see all these pregnant ladies sitting outside, and they sitting there and they smoking, and you can't help but feel in your heart, God, why us? We've done everything right. And you've taken our baby. And then fast forward a few months, we began to meet couples who were in the moment where they've lost their babies. And they're going through terrible times. But we had a rock we could run to. We had a hiding place. We had a fortress. We couldn't see the back of God's glory yet. We couldn't see hindsight yet. But we knew we were in a rock. We had questions. We had doubts. We had fears. We had things that we couldn't understand. And Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You cannot figure this out, but you have to trust. You have to trust. Saying, God, I do not understand now. But I thank you that you've been so, so good to me. Then you begin to surrender yourself. Lay it all aside. And you say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you now that your hand is covering me in the cleft. I feel constrained right now. I cannot move. I'm paralyzed. I'm in trouble. But I'm in the rock. And I know your hand is over this rock. See, so many times I've met so many Christians and so many people in the world where when things are going well, they forget about God. They forget about everything. And that's a lot of times where we understand the blessing of God. There's a difference between God's blessing and his goodness. I want to tell you now, his blessing is favor, it's abundance. But his goodness he reveals to you in times of trouble. Those are the times where you cannot see ahead, you cannot understand why what you're going through now is happening to you. You don't understand it, you don't have answers. But I promise you, hold on to God. Stay in that place of protection. Do not try to climb out of that cleft. Bow down and worship God. You don't have to understand everything in the moment, but I promise you, when you look back of what God has done for you, you will see his goodness, how good he's been for you, how he saved your life. When we're in trouble, he will shut us in. He will hedge us in. He will enclose us from the enemy. And when we look back, we will see his goodness and how he has been there for us. We have to seek his presence. We have to climb the mountain, be willing for him to put us in uncomfortable, difficult circumstances in order to experience his goodness. And I can tell you now that it's easy sometimes just to have hearsay. I hear how good God is. And I can tell you, I've heard some other preacher preach this, and I can see that somebody else has said this, but until you've gone through something, you cannot speak with authority on that topic. And I can tell you that God is good. He is faithful. He is alive. He loves us, and he loves us so, so much that we didn't deserve him, but he was gracious. I love when he proclaimed his name to Moses. He said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. We always connect the Old Testament, and we've been taught that way, and I've even said it, that in the Old Testament there was no grace, no mercy. I mean, you sin, you either died or you had to sacrifice an animal. But I can show you so many times in the Old Testament where it's just God's grace. It is who he is. And so many times we read the Old Testament and we see the laws that were given. And we look at the restrictions, but we don't see the other side of God is not giving that to show us that he's a harsh God. He's showing us that he's a pure God. He's a holy God. And he loves us. And he loves us so much that he gives a way for us to be reconciled to him. And in the Old Testament, it was a continual sacrifice that had to be sacrificed. And I'm telling you today that 2,000 years ago, there was a sacrifice for each one of us. His name was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And he was the only sacrifice needed for us to come to him today, to be able to stand in God's presence with boldness, be hidden in the cleft, in the rock, Jesus Christ, and to know that we are shielded and we are protected. And I pray, my prayer is for everybody here, everybody listening, that if you've been going through difficult times, or you know somebody that's been going through difficult times, and you've been searching for answers everywhere, you've gone to the other deity called Google to find everything you're trying to find out about this potential symptom, and pretty much at the end of the day, you've got cancer, you're going to die in 2 days, is what the diagnosis is every time. I'm telling you that God is alive. And if you've never put your faith or your trust in him, I want to challenge you to do it. To say, God, show me your glory. And I can tell you now that God will. In his own faithful, gracious, kind way, he will. I mean, God could have gone to Moses. Oh, here I am. Poof. Oh, heap of ash. All right, I've got to get a new Moses. He didn't. God was gracious. He was kind. He was faithful. And you can always see how God has a heart to draw us, his creation, back to him. Remember, we were the ones in the Garden of Eden that decided we want to leave this presence. But God has put in place a way for us to come back to him. And I want to finish it here today. And I want you, when you go away from here, to ask God to help you to fall in love with him over again. Just over again. God, help me to fall in love with you, with your word. Show me who you are. I love this prayer that Moses prayed. It is so profound to me, where he said, God, if I found favor in your sight, show me your ways. Here it's what I find amazing about that prayer is, you have to remember, there are millions of Israelites in the camp. You have Joshua lingering in the tabernacle, but God calls one person up to him, and you would think that that alone is enough to signal that you have found favor. And yet, he's so humble, he stands in God's presence, and he says, God, I know I'm here. I know you've singled me out. I know you've spoken to me. I can hear your voice. It says that he spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. He says, but God, now if I found favor, please show me your ways. So many times we're in life and we say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what to do. And that's fair enough. At least it shows that you're interested in understanding what God wants for you. But pray this prayer and say, God, if I have found favor in your sight now, show me your ways. And I promise you, God will. God will. But the other side of this as well is that when God speaks, we have to obey. God is not going to change his mind when he's told you to do something, when he showed you his way, and you don't like it. He's not going to change. Have the fear of God in you and say, God, if this is the way you want me to walk, I believe, I don't have it now, I don't feel it now, that you will give me the strength, the tools, the wisdom, the resources, everything I need to be able to walk this path. And God, now I'm going to walk in faith. But make sure that you stay in the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. Presence connected to his face. Stay in the presence of God. Daily seek God's face. David says, early in the morning, I rose up. I was sharing with Ken a month ago now, that I find this story of Exodus, this time that I've read through Exodus this year probably about 4 or 5 times, because it's just so gripping. I've never understood this scripture like this before. When God rained down the manna, and the manna is connected to the word of God, it said, he didn't say, well, let them sleep in, have a rest, and when they wake up in the mid-afternoon, they can go and pick up some manna. No. They had to rise up early in the morning. They had to rise up early in the morning and get some manna. I'm asking you today, are you rising early in the morning? Are you getting manna, or is it too hard for you? Is it too inconvenient for you? It's a challenge I'm putting out there for you. Make sure you spend time with God. It's good to spend time with God before you go to bed. It's good to spend time as a family. In fact, you should. You should do that. But begin by spending time with God in the morning, when you don't have distractions, when you don't have the cares of the world, when you can walk outside in the cold, you can look up and you can see crisp, clear skies. You say, God, I love you. When was the last time you prayed and you just spent time in God's presence, and when you walked away, you didn't ask for anything? Where you were just admiring and adoring God. And say, God, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. How can I sacrifice more of myself for you, Lord? Fall in love with God over and over again. Begin to wait on the Lord. And that wait on the Lord, I heard somebody say one day, it's like a waiter's, or there's two forms of that. One is the passive, I'm waiting, and one is the active. I'm actually waiting on God. God, you're so good here. How wonderful you are to me. You are magnificent. You just begin to worship and to praise God. And that is difficult when you're going through difficult circumstances. But that is where the sacrifice of praise comes in. That is the sacrifice that God will not neglect. I'm telling you now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our rock. And Lord, that we are hidden in Christ Jesus as sons and daughters. As Darren said before, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, connected through the body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for every person here, everybody listening, God, that you would help us to see difficult circumstances different, Lord, as an opportunity to find rest in peace in you, Lord, knowing that you are covering us, you are protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, these are character traits that you do not compromise on, Lord, and we praise you for it, and we worship you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this coming week for each one of us, Lord, that when we look back, when we meet again next Sunday and we look back, we can say, surely we've seen the goodness of God on our lives. Lord, begin to open our eyes to see your goodness in small things, Lord, in small things. Make us sensitive to your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will draw us in with cords of love. More and more each time. God, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.